Psalm 51. Bible says in 1 John 1:9, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. Now, I know that, Kendra said this morning, talking about Emmy, says she loves to take a shower, but she's the only one. The rest of them kids would be dirty all the time if you let them. And so we see two different situations here. One is when the father says, I don't care if you're dirty. I love you anyway. Right? And that's good. Aren't you glad God loves you even when you're bad? God loves us even when we make mistakes, even when we fall, even when we fail, even when we are in a state of rebellion. Though God may not bless us in those times, he still loves us. I'm glad he does. So he looks at me when I'm dirty and he says, I love you anyway. And it says he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He'll forgive us, which means he accepts us as we are. But further than that, he will cleanse us from all unrighteousness. It's better to be clean. It's better to have all the dirt and all the sin and all the guilt washed away if we confess. The Bible also says in Romans chapter 10 that if we can, now I don't remember what it says. If thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. You want to preach? Come on up here. Thank you. I appreciate the help. That if thou shalt confess with thy mouth, for with the heart man believeth unto salvation. Isn't that great? And with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. So we have the heart, we believe unto righteousness, and with the mouth, confession is made unto salvation. We got to confess. So here's the question. Can we confess our failures? Can we confess our sins? We know we've got them. But you know, some of us cannot admit when we made a mistake. I was telling some people this week, the topic would come up and I would say, look, I own my mistake. It was my fault. I did it. It was my idea. I'm the only one that could have done it, and I'm the one that did it. I admit it. Do we confess our sins? We can, but do we? You say, well, I got saved. When I trusted the Lord Jesus as my Savior, I said, Lord, I'm a sinner. And I know Jesus died on the cross for my sins and rose the third day. And I put my faith in you and I ask you, forgive my sins and save my soul. Because that's how you get saved, right? Well, we prayed and got saved. And you say, well, that took care of all of it. You're right, it did. That took care of all of it. You're going to heaven. And I'm glad you are. That's good. But you know, the Bible says that we ought to confess our faults. That means every time we mess up, we need to remain in a state of awareness so that we can confess that we did wrong. Not just that first time, but every time. I mean, maybe even today, you could say, look back on yesterday and say, these are the things I messed up yesterday. These are the sins I committed yesterday. But do you confess it, or do you think now you're just washing the blood and it doesn't matter anymore? He says, if we confess. Well, David, the Bible says that David was a man after God's own heart. David loved God. But David didn't sin, did he? Yeah, he did. You know why David sinned? Because he's like us. There were things in his mind and in his heart that caused him to be selfish and proud and lustful. And so there were times in his life where he let his guard down and he put his prayer life to the side and he wasn't in the Bible like he should be and he wasn't worshiping as he should be. Because I guarantee you, it's kind of hard to sin when you're in the presence of God. You know what? The Holy Spirit comes to dwell inside of us when we're saved. And so we're never out of the presence of God. Even if you take away the fact that he's God and he's aware of everything everywhere. We're never outside the presence of God. But there's something about knowing he's there. And when we keep him close through prayer, then we're going to be less likely to go into sin. In Psalm 51, verse 1. David calls out to God and he says, "Have mercy upon me, O God. Have mercy upon me, O God." Remember, there were the publican and the Pharisee, and they went to the temple to pray. And the Pharisee looked up to God and he said, "God, I tell you what," he said, I got in here and I was going to pray, and then I looked at this guy and I realized I'm not as bad as I thought I was. I'm not like him. He's a bad guy. I'm not a bad guy. I'm thankful to you that I'm better than he is." What kind of prayer do you think that is? That's not a very good prayer, is it? David didn't say, "God, have mercy on my enemies. Have mercy on those who are around me." David said, "Have mercy upon me, O God, because I'm the problem." How many of you can admit sometimes you're the problem? I only saw two people raise their hand. The rest of them, yeah, that's true. David cried out to God, knowing he needed forgiveness, asking to be cleansed. Look at what he says. "According to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from mine iniquity. Cleanse me from my sin." I won't name which child it is, but I've got a son that will go to take a shower. And I think he goes in there and runs in the bathtub, turns the shower and runs in, runs out, dodging the raindrops as they fall. He'll come out of the shower and his hair's not even wet. And my wife will say, "You didn't take a shower." "Yes, I did." I don't need that kind of shower. I don't need that kind of grace. I don't need that kind of mercy. I need mercy that cleanses, what's that soap, all of our 2,000 parts. I need that kind of cleansing. I need the cleansing that's going to go through my soul, my heart, my mind, and my body and wash it away. David said, "God, cleanse me. Wash me thoroughly and cleanse me from my sin." I don't need any ideas to pop up in my head, any temptations to come before me. I need it all washed away. Verse 3. "For I acknowledge my transgressions." I admit my wrong. Now look, it's important not just to admit that we're wrong to God, but maybe to your spouse, or maybe to your children, or maybe to your parents, or your neighbor, or your coworker, your boss, your employees, whoever it is. Sometimes we have offended others. And so we don't just say, "God, forgive me." We have to go to them and say, "Hey, forgive me. Because I know I hurt you and I know I did wrong and I'm sorry." What if they don't forgive you? That's not on you. That's on them. And when they come to you, that's not on them. That's on you to forgive them. And then he says this, "My sin is ever before me." You see, the reality is that when we do wrong, that sin hangs up. And we feel guilty and we think about it. And we're sorrowful and we regret it. And we think about, "How could I have fallen so low? How could I have done such a thing? How could I have offended God? How could I have offended them? And I'm a better person than this. I'm a better Christian than this. And why did I do that?" And we wake up in the morning and it haunts us. And we go to bed at night and it haunts us. And through the day it haunts us. Guys, why would we let our sin haunt us when we can have it washed away? I don't want to be reminded of my sin all the time. But see, the problem is, until we confess it, it's always there. Until we deal with it, it's always there. How many of you have ever gone to work knowing that there was something you had to do and you didn't want to do it? You had to fire somebody, or you had to discipline somebody, or you had to call somebody, or you had to share some bad news and you didn't want to do it. And so you got to work and you said, "Well, let me put this off. I'll do it later." And all day it kept haunting you. All day it was there. All day it was there. All day it was there. I had a situation kind of like that one time. I had applied for a job, a full-time job. where I worked part-time, and the boss came in, and he was kind of avoiding eye contact. So I just, after about an hour or two of that, I just cornered him, and I said, look, let's get it over with. We hired somebody else. I said, fine, just say it. We don't need to be avoiding each other all day. I'm going to be here, and you're going to be here. Let's not make it awkward. There's a book called Eat the Frog. First thing in the morning. And the idea, how many of you have seen that book or read that book? A few of you. The idea is you got a frog sitting on your desk and you got to eat that thing before the end of the day. Ugh. The frog leg's not too bad, right? It's all day you sit there and look at that frog and stare at that frog, and that frog keeps going, ribbit, ribbit. Just get it over with. Just be done. Then you don't have. Then you can just deal with the indigestion. You don't have to deal with the frog anymore. Well, see, when it comes to sin, why carry that sin? Why regret that sin? Why keep looking back at that sin? Why not go to God and say, God, I confess my sin. I plead for your mercy and your grace, and I ask you to cleanse me from my unrighteousness. Wash me thoroughly. My heart, my soul, my mind, get it out of me. That's what David did. Don't let it disturb you. Confess it and he will forgive it. That's why Jesus died. That's what we need to do, is confess it and be done. Verse 4, against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. David says, God, you're the one. Let me tell you something. If I hurt Brother Henry, do you understand that hurts God too? Because God loves Brother Henry. And so if I attack God's son, Henry, then God is attacked. So I have sinned against God, even though I really sinned against Henry. So understand, when we hurt anybody, we hurt God. You say, well, I just don't like that guy. But understand something, when you hurt them, you hurt God. The Ten Commandments, thou shalt not steal. Well, I'm not stealing from God. If you're stealing from God's child, you're stealing from God. And every time I hurt somebody, it hurts God's heart. And I owe God an apology, and I need God's forgiveness. David says, God, you're the one. I sinned against you. Verse 5, behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. We have a human nature that is inclined to sin. When it comes to our bodies, I teach class, and I'll say the brain is in control. Right? So if the brain controls everything in the body, let's say that you're low on blood sugar, glucose, diabetic. And so your hands start to get cold, and you go, I wonder why my hands are cold. I can tell you one reason that happens is because your brain says, I need more sugar, and I'm taking it from the hands and the feet and the arms and the legs. And you still didn't give it any glucose, and the brain says, I still need some more. And guess what? I'm gonna steal it anywhere I can find it. You know why? Because inherently we are selfish. And the brain says, I got to be the last one to survive. I'll shut down the eyes and the ears and the ability to speak and even the consciousness itself if that's what I've got to do to survive. And that's how we are. We'll shut everybody out, shut everybody down as long as I can survive, because I'm number one. And that is the human way. And David said, I was born in iniquity, conceived in sin. He said, look, I'm human. And so I fall short. I fail sometimes. Well, listen, the whole idea of being saved and having our sins washed away, the Bible says the old man has passed away. Behold, all things are become new. I'm a new creature. He said, be ye not conformed to the world, but be transformed. How? By the renewing of our minds. He says in verse number 6, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. How many of you have ever lied to yourself? That's kind of hard, isn't it? We lie to ourselves sometimes. David says, you desire truth in the inward parts. Not this facade, not this pretense on the outside. Not trying to be somebody to the world that I'm really not on the inside. You desire truth on the inward parts, he says. And the hidden part, thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Deep inside, where we really are, who we really are. Transparency, if you will. What is transparency? It's the ability to see through something. We put on the show. How you doing? My grandfather taught me this. He said, Derek, when people ask you how you're doing, just tell them you're doing fine. They don't really want to know. I really want to know if I ask you. He said, Derek, if somebody says, how you doing, just say you're doing fine. David Ring, y'all remember him when he was here talking? He said, I stopped asking people how they feel because they want to tell me. We need friends that want to know, don't we? You walk by somebody and say, how you doing? They keep walking. I didn't get to answer you yet. Come back. Let me give you the list. Transparency to see through me. Not a fake smile. But who I really am. My real words. My real sense. My real truth. He says in verse number 7, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. David is in a place of guilt and humiliation. And he's broken and battered, bruised, if you will, spiritually. He says, God, I don't know how I can recover from this. I've let you down. I'm so disappointed in myself. I've had people come to me and say, well, Pastor, through the years, I want to help in church, but I just don't feel like somebody like me should be involved in leadership in the church. I don't really feel like I'm worthy to be involved in the youth program. Now, don't get me wrong. There are things that will disqualify us. But just in general, you know, not being perfect is not a disqualifier. We need to be in service to God. Be growing in grace and service to God. David says, I'm broken. I'm so disappointed in myself. I know people who were in ministry and something happened. Sin. It was their fault. But then they got out of ministry because they say, well, I'm no longer worthy to serve. And you know, because God called and put a calling on their life and gave, you know, he designed them to be preachers and pastors. And they, because of one sin, turn their back on ministry. They've never been happy. They've never been fulfilled. Why? Because they're not fulfilling the calling of God in their lives. David says, God, I'm bruised. I'm beaten up. But I want to get back. I want to go. I want to be in service to you. I want to worship you. I want to serve you. You realize David is the great psalmist. He's the one that wrote a lot of these. He taught us so much about worship and praise. But he wasn't perfect. He comes to God and he says, cleanse me. Bring back the joy. Look at what he says in verse 8. Make me to hear joy and gladness. I'm reminded of a friend of mine who had gone through cancer and struggles of life and through all of that, a pastor, by the way. He said, he didn't even realize it, but he had lost the song in his heart. He didn't realize it. He used to go around singing all the time, you know, humming and whistling and all. He said he didn't even realize it was gone. You know, it just got so crushed by life. He didn't even realize that the song in his heart was gone. Until one day, on the other side of all of those struggles, he heard himself whistling. And he realized, I haven't been doing that. His song was back. Guys, life sometimes crushes us. And we lose our song and we lose our joy. We lose our gladness. Oh, but won't we come back to God and say, God, restore it. Give me back the joy. Give me back the gladness. Let me hear it again. Let me recognize it. You know, because when we're broken on the inside, we get very negative, don't we? We can't see the joy in anything. We complain about everybody and everything. If somebody does something and it's successful, we criticize it. Because the joy and gladness is gone in us. We just become critics and complainers. If I'm talking to you this morning, it's time to come to God and say, God, Give it back to me. Let me hear it again. Let me find the joy in others and find the joy that's around me and bring the joy out in me. Verse 9, hide thy face from my sins and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. I love that verse. Don't you love that verse? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. You know, that's a great prayer for every day to get started. Cast me not away from thy presence. Take not thy Holy Spirit from me. You know, and this is an Old Testament. In the New Testament, when we accept Christ as our Savior, the Spirit of God comes to dwell inside of us. In the Old Testament, that was reserved for prophets, priests, and kings. Only those in the Old Testament where we read, and they were anointed by the Spirit, that's the only ones that had the presence of God indwelling them continuously. And we can see with Saul, the Spirit of God left him. And with Samson, the Spirit of God left him. David calls out and he says, God, don't take your Spirit. Don't take your presence from me. I can't live without the communion of your presence in my life. We need to feel God's presence in our lives. But sin and backsliding will cause separation and division, and it will cause us not to sense the presence of God. Why? Did God move? No, God didn't move. Our attention moved. Because we focused on sin, because we focused on distraction, because we took our eyes off the Lord. David says, don't remove your Spirit from me. Verse 12, and restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. How many of you can remember when you got saved? Anybody remember that? Man, you got saved. You were so happy. Oh, man, my sins are washed away. I'm going to heaven. I'm a new creature. Jesus washed all my sins away. I didn't have to pay for it. Couldn't pay for it. Didn't have to do anything for it but accept Him and pray and believe. He paid it. He did the hard part. And He washed my sins away. Man, that was great. I'm glad I'm saved. I hope you are saved also, but have you lost the joy? I remember, in these years of ministry, I've seen people get saved and they get so excited. Boy, they get in their Bible, they're reading their Bible, they're underlining, studying their Bible, they're in their Bible all the time, they're praying all the time, they're singing all the time, they're so excited, so glad to be saved. And then as it goes along, it decreases. They're no longer as excited. They're no longer praying like they should, reading their Bible like they should, going to church like they should. They lose the joy. Why is that, you reckon? Busyness of life, distraction. The new wears off. David said, restore it. Restore the joy of thy salvation. Give it back. If you've lost it this morning, won't you pray and say, God, restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. I want to be happy that I'm saved. I want to be excited that I'm saved. I want to have enthusiasm of my salvation. I want to tell people that I'm saved. Like I did that first day when I went home to my parents and said, hey, I got saved today. Went to school that next day. Hey, I got saved at church Sunday. Have we lost that? Have we lost that willingness to share it? But he prays for salvation. He prays for the restoration of the joy of salvation. And then he says this, and we're winding it down here. He says in verse 13, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. David said, God, if you'll give me back the presence, if you'll give me back the joy, if you'll cleanse me from the guilt and the shame and the humiliation of my sin, if you'll wash that sin away, I'll get busy for you. I'll tell people about you. I'll sing about you. I'll share the gospel. David says, Lord, if you'll forgive me, I'll get to work. How many of us would say that to the Lord this morning? God, if you'll if you'll rid me of the haunting sin of my past, of the mistakes and the failures, I'll put my confidence in you. And not only will I put my confidence in you, but I will share your message. Verse 14, deliver me from the blood guiltness. O God, thou God of my salvation, my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, else would I give it. Thou delightest not in the burnt offering. Can I tell you something? You can't pay for your salvation. You can't give enough money. You can't go to church enough. You can't sing loud enough, preach enough, share the gospel enough. You can't. There's nothing we can do to earn it. David said, you don't want sacrifices. You see, salvation is between me and God. Jesus died for our sins to cleanse us from unrighteousness. He rose from the grave the third day to give us victory over death and victory over life. And this is what he said. Verse 17, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. What does God want? God wants us to humble ourselves. He said, if we confess, you see, the problem is a lot of people run around, they say, I don't owe anybody any confession. I do what I want to do. I am my own person, and I don't need anybody. They won't confess. Some say, well, I got saved, and so I'm saved, and that's good enough for me. I've already asked forgiveness. You know, you don't feel bad about what you did this morning or yesterday or this week? You don't think you should just go to God and say, God, I shouldn't have done that, and I'm sorry. And I won't do it again. And I need you to work on my mind so I won't do it again. And I need you to work on my heart so I won't do it again. And I need you to work in my life so I won't do it again. A broken and a contrite spirit, a contrite heart. God wants us to change. He wants us to push sin out of our lives and cling to him. Would you stand? Father, we love you and we thank you for the time that we've had in your word this morning. So many times as Christians, I believe we take for granted this matter of confession. We figured that once we got saved, it was all handled, and we know it is. God, I pray that today we'll confess our sins. We will acknowledge what is sin. We'll acknowledge what we've grown comfortable and complacent about in our lives that you don't want in our lives. And that we'll repent and find grace in your presence. Lord, if there's anyone here this morning without the full assurance of salvation, would you grip their hearts right now and draw them to you? Lord, where any of us fall short, draw our attention to it that we can confess it and receive the forgiveness and mercy that comes from you. In Jesus' name, amen. The altar's open if you want to come and kneel and pray. If you want me to pray with you, I'll be glad to do that. You can pray where you are. God is listening. Do you have a contrite heart this morning? Can you put your pride and selfishness aside and say, God, I need you. I need your loving kindness. I need your forgiveness. Open my eyes to the sin that I've grown comfortable with. Whether that's how I talk to people or how I treat people or talk about people or what we do or what we don't do. God, open my eyes. in my heart. David sinned, but you know what he did? He acknowledged his sin. He blamed no one. He took responsibility. He said, God, it was me. Where do you stand with God this morning? Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Parents here? They are? Okay. All right, very good. So we invite you to stay. Jordan's going to be baptized, so we're going to go prepare for that. I invite you to sit down, and John will give us some music, and that'll be wonderful. Glad you came today. Be back tonight, 6 o'clock. Wednesday night, 7 o'clock. Stick around for baptism.